2005, Easter Seminar, Lecture 10. Resurrection. Every moment I am born again. Every moment I am born again. What a great idea. What a great concept to have. Every moment I am born again. Think about that. If we were born again every moment, we would leave behind all of the old thoughts. I'm resurrected from old thoughts and conditions. I'm born new to my nowness, a joy unspeakable. Every moment I am born new. Think about that. What would it be like to be born new every moment? And I really mean be born new. Be born without a remembrance of the past. Without an idea of what went just an instant before. Before you slid down the tube and came out and said, "Hi, world, here I am. Watch out, I got some wonderful ideas that I'm going to bring forth in my lifetime, and you are going to really get a kick out of it. I know I am." Every moment, I'm born again. So, we live in our fantastic world. We live in our fantastic life. And as we live, we experience the most unusual things. Now, what are some of the unusual things that we experience? Some of the unusual things that we experience are new people that we meet. Now, when we're born new as a baby, we meet our mother, and we say, "Oh, who are you? Oh, you seem to like me, so I guess you're okay." And Papa comes along, "Who are you? You look different from that other one, you know. You're my dad." "Oh, well, okay." And you see, each one gets introduced. But then something comes along that's really strange. Our dog looks in the crib and says, "Hop, hop." And you say, "What in the world is this? This is a new experience I've never had before. A thing that barks and is all full of fur, I kind of like that. You know, it feels kind of good." And it takes his hand and rubs it on the fur, not knowing that he's rubbing it because his fingers are still clenched. You know, they're not fully open to enjoy. And so he's met a dog. Now, is the cat going to be introduced to him? Well, according to the baby doctors, it's not a good idea to have cats in the house when the baby is, you know, growing up in the first couple of years. And I'm sure that must have been somebody who doesn't like cats. Because cats have been around a long, long time. And they've been in people's homes a long time, around children a long time. And cats take a liking to children, basically. They feel very comfortable around them, even though children grab their tail or do other silly things. But they like them. So, every moment, I'm born new. Okay, now that's the early part. Let's jump into where we are right now. Here we are. We're all around middle age, you know, 25. And we're middle age, 25? No, that's kindergarten. We're around 25. That's a good year. And how do we act? Are we aware of our body? Are we aware of our looks? Are we aware of our clothing? Are we aware of the people who are in our world? Are we chagrined when we see a tiger walk in the front door? And we say, "Well, what do you know? I think that's a tiger. I saw you in a book once. Come on over here and say hello." So the tiger walks over, and you pet the tiger, and the tiger says, "I'm lost. How do I get back to the zoo?" And you say, "Well, sit down right there. Not on the couch, on the floor. You sit on the floor. And I will call the zoo, and they'll come over and take you home. Now, is there anything you'd like to eat meanwhile?" And he says, "Yes, I am kind of hungry." "Well, all we got is some beefsteak in the refrigerator and some hamburger and stuff. Well, I'll take what you got." And so you bring this out and feed the tiger, and he eats it, and he says, "Being on the outside isn't bad. If I had these kind of meals all the time, I think I could handle that very well." And so you say to the tiger, understanding what's going through his mind, "Now look, I'm not about to raise a tiger. You go back to the zoo where all those people come in to admire you and look at you and think how wonderful you are. And I wouldn't be saying that very often because I'm a kind of busy guy. So you go to the zoo and really enjoy. And then the zoo people pull up out in front and they come rampaging in through the door and you say, hey, cool it. The tiger and I are friends. Now, he's agreed to go back to the zoo if you agree to feed him a little more at each mealtime, as he's kind of hungry after each meal. Oh, we were told that we're only supposed to give him so much or else it would be too much. Look, tigers gorge themselves and then they eat and eat and eat and they fast until they gorge themselves again. That's part of their nature, so gorge them, you know. And you don't have to feed him so often, but just gorge him. And he'll get so full, and then he'll lay on his back, and he'll just say, and he'll go fast asleep. Well, you see, every moment I'm born new. Now, who would have thought a tiger would walk into my front door? You know? Who would have thought that the tiger and I would have a conversation, and he would understand me, and I would understand him? You know, cool. But, you see, I'm born new every moment. Every moment I have these grand new experiences. Now, I want to say something silly to you right now. You listen to me as I give these talks, and you hear me give illustrations that are really off the wall. You think to yourself, he really has sprung a leak somewhere. And he's talking about these crazy things, and they just do not happen to people. Well, believe it, they happen to me. I tell you of actual experiences that take place in my life again and again and again. I don't say, I did this and I did that and I did the other thing. I just tell you, well, the tiger and I were talking and we were sharing ideas. Really? Well, no, not really. We didn't do it. If you doubt me, to heck with you. If you don't listen to my story and find it so charming and so compelling, and you don't think, is it true or is it false? You just live the story with me and have fun with me, you know? And when you do that, then you are experiencing what I have experienced and what I do experience. You see, every moment my life is born new. And for me, I have to give you these illustrations because I am talking to you, and so I'm not being born new having different experiences because my experience is giving you my lecture, and that's good. So let's really start realizing how we are born anew. We're born anew by opening our eyes to what's going on around us. We're born anew by opening our ears to what's going on around us. We're born anew by recognizing that all of the things that we do are wonderful and good. So now, how are you born anew? How are you born? Do you have these experiences, or do you say, oh my gosh, no? When you see a tiger walk in your front door, the first thing you do, no! Put your hands in front of your eyes and scream no, you know? Or do you look at the tiger and you say, well, now you've come here for a very good reason, and we will certainly have rapport. We will share ideas together and share whatever we can. Now, Mr. Tiger, what brings you to my house? And the tiger looks at you and says, that's a nice greeting. I hadn't had a greeting like that in the various houses. Everywhere I went, the houses got empty, you know. But, hey, you're cool. And so the tiger comes over and sits by my side, and I'm stroking his mane and stroking his, it's a lion, I guess. I'm stroking his mane and his back, and he says, a little over here, scratch a little over here, you know, just like Rex, you know. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But if we ever fear any experience that we have created, we brought it into our consciousness by our thought. We brought it into our experience by our thought. I was lying in bed yesterday morning, and I was thinking to myself, yeah, I should get a little more sleep, but okay, I'm ready. And the telephone rings. And here it's this lady telling me all about her problems. But I didn't let her tell me the problems. I had her tell me the solution she wanted. And so we worked on it. And I talked to her for maybe half, three quarters of an hour. I have the telephone hanging right on the wall right here with the speakerphone right there. When I press the button, I just turn my head toward it and talk, you know. I mean, I've got it figured out pretty nice. And so then I talk on this telephone, and I talk to her, and she's, I didn't wake you, did I? And I said, I was just waking up, but why? She said, well, Stefan said I could call you after 6:30 in the morning there, you know. And I said, well, that's nice. And so, of course, it was 5:30. She was off an hour, but that's all right. So I talked with her, and we talked about the neatest things. I've told you some of them. We talked about the neatest things, and we talked about the funnest things. And when she got done, she says, oh, yes, 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 I understand now. I can understand what I'm supposed to do and how I'm doing it. And I thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I can see why Stefan loves you so much, you know. I can see why he cares so much about you. And I said, well, it's fine, you know, good and dandy. But who doesn't love me, you know? Who doesn't love you? Who doesn't think that you're just the most wonderful person that you can imagine being, you know? Now, if you don't, and then you think that other people don't like you, you're exactly right. But it started with you. It started with you because you couldn't open up your eyes to see the beauty of the people around you. You only open up your eyes to see the people around you who got a few problems. And this is what you're opening up your eyes to. Can you be born new every minute? And what's going to happen when you're born new every minute? You know, we saw this show on TV. It's a video, audio video, and it's about the babies are talking. And the babies are talking to each other, and they're just as charming as can be. And they're saying all the neat things that a baby would never think of saying. But an adult pretending he's a baby or she's a baby, they think of saying those things. But a baby would never think of saying it. A baby doesn't care about anybody else in their world except themselves and their mother or their father. They're not interested in girlfriends in other baby buggies. They're not interested in boyfriends. They're not interested in things like that. They might play together, but they have no appreciation of them. But the storyteller, the person who wrote the story, he felt that would make a charming little story about the kids acting like adults and speaking only talk they could understand, you know. So we don't have to play that game. We can play the real game. We can play the real game of being born new every minute. Every minute we come up with some brand new idea. Every minute we come up with something we hadn't thought the minute before. Every minute we come up with some concept that's going to change our life. And we're going to be resurrected into a newness of life, into a new attitude of life, into a new experience that we never dreamed possible before. And this is true. This is true because, you see, if we think we know it all, and we do, but if we think we know it all, then we don't have fun living it as it's happening. Because we have the ability to know what's coming up before it happens. We have the ability to have precognition and be aware of all things that are going to happen or that are happening in our life that aren't even fulfilled yet. But we have that ability. Now, fortunately, we have trained ourselves not to be aware of it. Because if we were aware of it, we wouldn't have that being born new every minute. You see, the ability to be the allness and the isness is a fact. And as a fact, it informs us of everything that goes on in the universe. It informs us of everything that goes on in our world. We intuitively know, if not actually know by our experiencing it ourselves. How do you do that? I told you about when I was out in the riptide in Corona del Mar there, and the riptide pulled me under the water and rolled me out to sea for a couple of miles. and then released me and let me go. And on my trip, I said to myself, well, I can drown or I can live. And so if I just relax and flow with it, whatever happens, happens. You know, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. So in the process, my whole life went whizzing before me in Technicolor, beautiful color pictures of all the important things. And it went so fast, but yet I knew it. I knew every little bit of it. And it was just wonderful. It was just really an exciting adventure. And then I came up. And so the show was over. And I stopped seeing it. Now, I was out there. And I was concerned. Let's see now. I think I'll float and get my breath back. Now, my point that I'm making here is that I didn't go 10 miles out to sea. I went maybe, you know, farther than I should. 9 wavelengths out, you know. And when I was out there, on my way out, I had this journey. I had this motion picture that was going on. And the motion picture that was going on was showing me all of my life. Now, in a very short span, I wasn't underwater that long. I felt like I was underwater for hours, but I was underwater perhaps only a moment or two. But in that time, it all went before me. So what I'm saying to you, you can live this entire lifetime right now in a like that, if you wish, and have the whole thing. In fact, you have done it. You saw the film of this lifetime before you moved in. You had the chance to go to the archives and pick out any lifetime that you wanted, any type of experience. But you had also, when you have this lifetime, you also have the opportunity to change it in any way you like while you're doing it. You don't have to stay in there with the way that it was done. And the way that it was done was a little ordinary, not too exciting, not too scary, you know. It's just a pleasant lifetime. And you have the chance to make it more exciting if you want. You say, I'm going to jump out of airplanes without a parachute. Woo! How about that? And I'm going to sail like a bird, putting my arms out here and act like wings, or just with my mind, I'm going to sail. Or I'm going to say, here I am, sitting here talking, and I want to be over there, so poof, I'm over there. Not bad, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, these things happen. These things are in our life expanse. The complete motion picture of this lifespan for each of us is right in our consciousness, is right in our, if you will, our archives. And we can play it anytime we want. And we do. You say, we play our own life experience a number of times? Yes. Every time you get frightened. Every time you start to drown, you know, and every time you die. Now, I know Dorothea Zimmerman here, she's seen her life experience many times. Each of the difficult experiences of her life that have been so challenging, she saw her own life experience flow by her mind. And as it flowed by her mind, she checked each detail to make sure they were correct. But then she had a lot of details that she hadn't yet experienced because she's still living. So she saw what's to come. She again saw what's to come. Each time she sees this preview, not a preview, but the run, the fast-forward run of her life, every time she sees it, she is reminded of who she is and what she is. Now, we'll use Dorothea since we're already using her. Well, Dorothea has a big problem. Dorothea has come to the awareness and is coming to the awareness, but came already, but yet it's not there, in the awareness that she is God. She is in the awareness that she's whole and perfect. She is in the awareness that everything she does is fantastic and everything, people that she meets is a person she created. She has come to that awareness now, and she has that awareness now. But it gets a little boring because that's her deja vu. Have you ever heard of deja vu? And her deja vu is like she's been there before, done that. Been there, done that. You heard that phrase too. And been there, and she has. And you have. Each of us have. We have in our mind been there, done that on any experience that we have. And we are having wonderful new experiences every moment, every day. Every day we're being born new. Every moment we're being born new. And we have the opportunity to change the experiences that come into our life. And you know you have. You have had deja vu experiences that didn't quite fit. And the reason they didn't fit was that you changed them. You changed the deja vu experience from a factual experience, if you want to say that, to a new factual experience. In your original deja vu experience, you were with your mother shopping, and you walked across the street, and a car sideswiped you and threw you into the store window, and you landed in the bed display in the store window on top of all that glass, and you were all cut up, and you were a mess. Well, you didn't like that. You thought that was not too cool, and you said, I will not accept that. And so, you were back at your mother's side. It never happened. It never happened because you made a choice not to have it happen. You made a choice to be back at your mother's side. Okay, now you're at your mother's side, so the car comes around and it's going to hit you. Does it hit you? No. That's not your decision. You have changed your script, and you have the perfect right to do so. So you change your script, and you're not hit, and you're not landing in the bed in the shop window, and that would have been sort of a charming idea too, you know. But you didn't do it. You didn't play the game that way because you had a deja vu and you realized what was coming in a flash as that car was going to hit you. You remembered what happened in that incident. And then immediately you said, no way. And the car missed you. No. But did you have fright?
You can't have fright.
You can't have fright. If you had fright, you would have had the experience. You see, when, as Ellen says, you are the master of your world and the master of yourself, then you immediately said, no, like when I tell you the story about Mark crashing his airplane in my dream. And then I say, no way, he doesn't crash his plane. Now back up, back up, back up. And roll the film back. Okay, now play. Now Mark, fly right. And Mark landed properly. Now, was that real or was that a dream or was that anything? It's real. I have these experiences all the time. You have them all the time too, but you will not acknowledge them. You will think that was just a daydream, that was just something fictitious or something strange in your life. But it wasn't, was it? It was the reality of you. You know, being born new every minute gives us all sorts of new attitudes toward ourselves. When you can begin to encourage the deja vu that you've been there, done that, because then you will be being born new in each moment, and then you will have the opportunity to be independently wealthy, and you'll say, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful, you know? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And by your very fact, you're saying, wouldn't that be wonderful? You have said, it can't be so. Even though your deja vu shows you just, you know, being drenched in money and having an infinite amount, so you didn't have to think about anything before you did it. You just could go and buy it. Well, if you can change your thinking from wouldn't that be wonderful to I accept, oh boy, I accept, this is great, this is neat, this is wonderful. And you see, you say, well, that's easy to do. Ha, 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 ha. When you're having a problem, is it easy to say, essentially, I don't have a problem. Is it easy to say, all is in divine order? Huh?
All is in divine order.
But I said the other, because I want you to know. All is in divine order. Is it easy for you to say that? No. It's not easy because you're dealing with facts. You're dealing with a hurt toe. You're dealing with blood. You're dealing with a brick sitting on top of your toe or a house or a car. You know, you were getting in the car and Ellen started up before you got in and ran over your toe and then said, screamed. And so she stopped right on top of your toe. She didn't stop after she got off your toe. Ellen, back up just a little bit. I'll go forward a little bit. You know, so I get my foot out from under the tire. And then, while you're doing that, you say, this is stupid. My toe is not under that tire. I merely think it's there. And my toe does not hurt. I feel perfect. And so Ellen moves the car, and your toe was not under the tire. You merely thought it was under the tire, and you thought it so wonderfully that you had the experience of pain. And we do that. We do that. But what a stupid thing to do, you know. No, you're on my toe, and you're not. But the thing is, you think someone could be on your toe. And you empower them to be there. Now, that's a silly thing. We are the creators of our world. And we are the creator of every experience we have in our world. We are the creator of everything being born new every minute. Now, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to be born new every minute? Do you want to have new experiences? Do you want to look at who you have been and leave that aside? Do you want to have the deja vu, which says to you, this is quite real? And then you look at it and you say, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not my choice, to have a telephone pole stuck in the middle of my tummy like that guy did, you know. That's not my choice. No way. And when I would walk through the forest taking pictures, you know, in Wyalusing State Park by Barry DeShiener, and I was taking pictures in this beautiful forest. The trees were all aglow with embers, and the branches were falling down, burning and glowing, and I was taking pictures of all these things. And I was walking through there, and the smoke was thick as could be. And then after I got my pictures, I came out, and the people said to me, you can't do that! And I said, hi, how are you guys? I changed the subject. They said, well, how could you breathe? I changed the subject. I said, boy, have I got some good pictures. Have I got some? I'm on the wire, the Associated Press wire, where I sent out pictures of what's going on in my area to the Associated Press so it could be in the world newspapers, you know. And so, naturally, I'd grab everything I could and put it on the wire and send it around, and I was on the front page of lots of newspapers, and I never even knew it, because they didn't pay you. You're a stringer, and you're supposed to pick up things, you're supposed to send in stories, you're supposed to do this, and because some of my pictures were pretty classic, pretty good, they put them right on the paper right away, because they hadn't had a picture quite like that. But you see, this is the beauty of being yourself and having fun. Now, if you had told me 2 days before, in 2 days, you're going to go into the Wyalusing State Park, which is going to be a flame, a bursting flame, and you're going to walk right into that flame, ah, and you're going to go in that smoke, oh, and you're going to go in right there and take pictures. You're going to take pictures, and each time when the smoke sort of moves aside a little, you're going to take pictures, and then you're going to come out of there, and then you're going to go back to your office, and you're going to develop the film and make prints and send it to the wire press. And, would you consciously do something if you could see ahead of time what you were doing? Walking into the fire, walking into the smoke, and the firemen all with their big masks on so that they could breathe and things like that. You see, this is the magic. And you say, Herb, that didn't happen. Okay. And I'm not telling you this to prove anything to you. If I have to prove my stories to you, then, stories? You want stories? I could tell you stories about our aircraft carrier and about the kamikazes and all these other things. We had lots of good stories, and I've only used three or four of them over and over again, And I could go on into others, which would be just great too. But the point is, born new every minute, in charge of yourself every minute, in charge of whatever circumstances you are every minute. Can you do that? Can you be in charge of yourself every minute? Can you be born new every minute? You know, when you're born new every minute, you have no backup. You have no previous experiences that guide you and direct you in how you're supposed to act as you're born new, you see? And so you have to really wing it. You have to really move on it based upon your intuition and your inner awareness. Now, that's exciting, but it also is very frightening if you allow it to be frightening. Yeah. Born new every minute. That's a beautiful experience. I am resurrected from old thoughts and conditions. We have so many old thoughts and conditions about us in our life that have been very demanding of us and have demanded our attention and demanded our awareness, demanded everything about us. And these old thoughts are thoughts like race consciousness. Race consciousness thoughts are the thoughts of many people. Okay, so you hear that Nixon, that goes back a ways, that's what I heard. But you hear that Bush is going to start a war, that he is going to enter into a war with Iraq or wherever, Afghanistan, who knows. And you hear this, and you say to yourself, hey, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Bush is a peaceful man. The Iraqians are peaceful people. The Afghanistans are peaceful people. The world is filled with peaceful people. Now, who said that? Nobody. Everybody said, oh, the Afghanistans are kind of tough to deal with, and the Iraqis are this, and so forth. And so Bush has to do this because this is for the benefit of the world, da, 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 da. And you see, what stupid statements to make. The statements we want to make are, I see peace on earth. I see the Afghanistans and the Iraqis independently, happy, content people who are very interested in coming out of the doldrums that they are in. All right, now, the United States is going to spend $30 billion on the war. You hear me? All right, so now, the Afghanistans need to have $10 billion to get their country back on the road again, okay? And the Iraqis need about $12 billion to get their country back on the road. So we say to these countries, hey, that's great. We will loan, no. We will give this money to you, but we will have our overseers with you to make sure that the money doesn't go in private pockets, but it goes into peaceful pursuits for the country. Is that okay with you? Oh, sure. You know, they always say, oh, sure. And so it was said to both countries. Now, how much was it that he was going to spend on the war? Come.
$30 billion.
How much did he spend on giving to these two countries so that they could bring their economy into shape?
22.
Interesting. Interesting, isn't it? Now, what do you think the United States citizens would say if they said, we're going to give this amount of money to these two countries to bring them back into balance? The people of the country would say, are you silly? Shoot them. Go to war with them. Don't give them money. Don't help them to become balanced. We got lots of people here at home to be helped. Now, you see, every moment you're living new. Every moment you're living new. So here, Bush is making a proclamation, $30 billion to have a war, or $22 billion not to have a war. What would you do? They cannot see it in those simple terms because those simple terms were not presented in that way. Do you understand? And even if they were presented in that way, they'd say, for the Afghanistans, for the Iraqis, you know, they're not American citizens. Why should we give them money like this? Well, let me tell you, I am not speaking off of the back of my neck. I am telling you true. The American government has given donations, not loans, to so many nations who were about to enter into a costly war, which would cost us a great deal of money to balance it, to keep peace or to do whatever, to keep from having the country commit genocide, killing all their people. And so our government has done this. They have done it ever since I started saying they should do it. Oh, Herb, you did? Yvette, did you? Could you start thinking about it now? Could you start thinking about that as a plausible opportunity or possibility where we would have peace on earth because?
It began with me.
It began with me, and because we didn't invest in war, we invested in peace. Now, you have the opportunity, Madame President, of spending $30 billion on the war. And the war will kill maybe about 10 million people in their country and our country, okay? 10 million people dead. Okay, this is not a lot. So then you start thinking about it. And you say, well, if we would work with these countries and help them be peaceful, they would not need to fight with us, and they would always be our allies because we helped them. And they would not fight. They would not be angry. And 12 million people would still be enjoying a life. Now, you see, if you stop thinking about the money as money, and you start thinking of it as just a tool in the negotiation procedures, then you would bring more peace on earth than anything in the world. I have sent so many people to the peace tables, and I can say this because nobody's going to believe me, so it doesn't matter. I have sent so many people to the peace tables who have gone there and negotiated without anybody knowing they were there, even though they saw them. They didn't know what role they had. It's like when I was a little boy walking into this people's house, they didn't even know because I just did it out of love. And I was wanting to send Patrick and Jan and Ellen on a peace mission, but they didn't take it. But that's okay. I have many backups. And so therefore, the mission was done. And these things are done. Now you talk about Saint Germain and you talk about him peacefully working with these various people. Hey, do you think he's the only one who does that? Now what about you? Would you like to start working in that area and mentally send delegations of negotiators and peacemakers to the warring countries? Would you like to do that? You say, oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, no, no, not yes, yes, yes. I do that. Do it. Now, mentally do this. Now, the more you practice mentally doing this, the more you prepare yourself to physically doing it. The more you practice mentally doing this, being born new every minute, the more you practice physically doing it. Now, as you work on this, as you develop this, as you exercise this activity, you will find that you will become more and more skillful mentally in doing it, and more skillful in physically doing it. Because You just see it done. And that's wonderful. Now think on these things. Think on these things and think, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that type of an activity in your life? Are you ready to stand up for being that sort of a being? Are you ready? Are you ready to take responsibility for that? Do you think that you have the gentleness, the peacefulness, the sensitiveness without judgment? You don't say, it's wrong for you to fight, it's wrong for you to kill people, it's wrong for you to have a war. You don't say that. You merely say, what is it that you would want from me? Like the Christ said, what wouldst thou of me? What is it you would want from me? Do you want to have peace in your country? Oh, yes, yes, of course. Well, no, that's not the right question to ask. Do you want to have balance in your economy? Do you want to have the necessary things to set up your country so that you have the hospitals and schools and other things that are so important to a balanced country? Oh, yes, yes. Then we will work with you and establish that. Can you imagine? Afghanistan is not all that big. Iraq's not all that big. They're big, but they're a lot desert, you know, a lot mountains. And so there's maybe a few cities that are quite large and filled with lots of people. And the population is not that great, but it's in the millions. And so these people, how many schools do they need? How many hospitals do they need? How much do they need to give them balance in their country? And I don't mean only schools and hospitals, but how much do they need to give them balance? And so it's not excessive. It's not excessive. It is a lot, but it's not excessive. And if we go in and do this with them, what's going to happen? Well, in the first place, they will hate us. You always hate the person who takes care of you. If a person comes in and takes care of you while you're sick, you hate them because they knew you while you were at your low ebb. And you don't want people knowing you while you're at your low ebb. You want people to come in and see you, and what do? First you put on your lipstick and you comb back in your hair and you look just great. And 2 seconds before you look like the wreck of the Hesperus, you know. But you and you're in the hospital and hi everybody, so it's nice of you to come visit. And the minute they walk out of the room, you know, all your energy is used up on pretending. Now, wouldn't it be better if you would just lie there and you would say to your guests, how wonderful of you to come and visit me. Will you sit down for a few minutes? That would make me feel more relaxed. When you're standing, I don't feel relaxed. I feel like you're just ready to jump out the door. So just sit down for a minute. And then you say to them, I am on my way now to a full recovery, and everything is coming along just fine. And thank you so much for coming to visit me and give me your support. And then they leave. Now, do they know that you are on your way to recovery? Because you're not putting on a show. Hi, everybody. Well, I feel so good. And, you know, that's false. They say, there's nothing wrong with that old lady. What's she in bed for? What's she wrong? What's wrong with her, you know? And it's not that you want to not pretend you're well, but you want to live in balance. You want to live in harmony with who you are. And so you say to the people who come to visit you, thank you. You say to the people who come to, and you don't use all your energy in doing it. You say to the people, you're wonderful. Can I get you a glass of water or something? No, I'm just fine. The nurse just got me one, you know, and I'm all set. You're thirsty. You're very thirsty. You'd like a glass of water, but you will not let any of them do anything for you. It's not because you don't want them to do it. It's just that you want them to realize that you're coming along just fine. And if anyone ever feels they need to serve you a glass of water and hold it for you, they feel that you can't handle it. And perhaps you can't, but don't let them. Let your nurse do this. That's what you got the nurse for. And you see, these countries would hate America for giving them money, as the countries of the world do. The countries who owe America the most hate America the most. Now, I recommend that we do not loan money to anybody. If we cannot give it, because we should not spend money that we need, okay? And if we need that money, we shouldn't be spending it. We shouldn't be loaning it, okay? Mm-hmm. So therefore, if we can give it, we should be able to give it and give it without expecting return. Would, say, $12 billion given to a country to help them with their project be worth having the goodwill of that country? You see, there's just two words between goodwill and badwill. And giving it without expecting return, loaning it. Loaning it only brings badwill. Goodwill can come from giving without expecting return. Now, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you get your country to approve of it? How do you get your world to approve of it? You know? How do you do it? Just think what Bill Gates could do. Why? Because Bill Gates acts on his own behest. He is the one who makes the decision. And he just says, hey, let's give $12 billion to this country. And he does it. Now, the country is not going to understand Bill Gates. They'll say, why have you given that to us? Well, Bill Gates isn't going to give it like that. Bill Gates is going to be in conversation with the head of the country or something and discussing computer activities and discussing what he's doing and how he's doing it. And then the head of the country says, oh, if we just had a few billion dollars, we could get ourselves out of the hole. We just are in such a morass. The country's spirit is so low, and a few dollars like that would bring us right out. And Bill Gates says, here, check. Here's a check. $8 billion. And the guy says, wow, I really didn't expect it, but I did, and I'm glad, but I can't tell you how glad I am. And Bill Gates says, now, spend it in good health. Aren't you even going to want to know how I'm going to spend it? No. I believe in you. You believe in your country. You want the best for your country, and I believe in you. I am not going to put any strings on it. Wow. And you know what happens? Like Ireland, after joining the euro, it has jumped into success. It has taken a new lease on life. It has taken a new program. And Estonia, Latvia, and the other countries over there, whatever they are, there's three of them there, have all come out of the doldrums and are now a positive, dynamic force in the finances and the politics of Western Europe. It's amazing, Western Asia. It's fantastic. You see, this has happened because who sponsored the Euro program? The United Nations, the United States. Who does the Euro people think sponsored their program? They think they sponsored it. Because the United States has a team of negotiators, a team of ambassadors, you might say, that's the wrong word, a team of people who are like ambassadors, and they send them to become friendly with the people who make those decisions, the heads of government and stuff like that. And then over coffee and over tea and over scotch and over bourbon, they talk about these things. They talk about what sort of thing would balance you out. You know, if you go into the Euro program, I think the United States probably could fall loose with a couple billion dollars to work you along on that stuff. Oh, that's a nice incentive. But don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody about it, because that's you and the United States together. And don't even tell the United States thank you. Just take it, apply it, and use it. And then they talk to other countries and other countries. So there, what was it, 10 countries or in the beginning, 9 or 10 countries joined in the Euro program, including France, including Germany. And do you think that there wasn't some money passing hands to make that a smoother operation? Do you think that, who suggested it? Huh? Who suggested it? I'm telling you, because you can do these things too. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You can use your creative... Do you think I'm only thinking about talking spiritual things with you guys? I'm talking everything under the sun. But I don't bring it up in these talks because we are working on a different level. And if you ever think that I'm saying these things because I need the credit or I need approval from anybody or on this, you're very wrong. Don't ever think that, because I am only doing this to encourage you to do whatever you want to do. Now, could you mentally create a hierarchy of activity to go around the world? Hey, go around the world and use ozone, if that does work, or the other, and promote the use of that in every area where water was a precious commodity that was in limited amount. Could you do that? Could you encourage that on a small scale? Could you encourage that and encourage everybody to get with it? Is that perhaps an idea whose time has come? If it is, are you going to be part of that time has come? Directing, promoting, opening the door? Now, the only reason I'm telling you that I did these things is to get you going to do it yourself. And if you ever doubt me on anything that I tell you, this or anything else, then we're not able to be beneficial to one another. But if you believe me, and shut up, don't ever tell anybody else about it. But if you believe me and can keep it in your heart, then you're at the foundation of a lot more beautiful things to come. I could take you and Sylvia and Ingeborg, and I could click my finger, and both of you would be just pussycats. You would just be mellow doing whatever I ask you to do. You'd be just loving each other, and you just want to have your beds in the same bedroom because you'd want to be close to each other. You'd want to share. Yeah, listen to your faces. But the thing is, all I have to do is say to you that you're fantastic and you would be so. Now, are you that way? It's done, right? All right, it's done. Forever. No discussion. It's done forever. But Herb, you're putting this on the internet. Well, nobody's going to believe it. So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But if anyone does believe it, or anyone does come to the consciousness that these things are real, then they will know that they can do it too. And that's the big point, that they can do it too. And they may do it, will do it, and should do it also. Not even should.
Are doing it.
Huh?
And are doing it.
Are doing it. That's the word. Not should, but are doing it. And they are. They are. As I said, there's not only me. There's not only Saint Germain. There's not only many other people that you don't know their names. But there are. And each is working. Why do you think peace, gentleness, love, harmony, truth is the experience of over 90% of the people on earth? It is, you know. Only a small percent are in hospitals. A small percent are sick. Only a small percent are at war. And only a small percent of those at war are at war. The rest are at war because it's their country and their country sends them there. They don't care. When the war is over, they're card-playing buddies. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand? You see, when the war is over, then the Germans were able to stop being angry at the Allies. And they could sit down at the card table and enjoy each other. And the same with the Japanese. When the war was over, all of a sudden the Japanese were not terrible people, they were beautiful people. People with love and a conscience and with choices and goals, but they merely were doing what their country had asked of them. We do what our country asked of us. I tell you, you're wonderful. Well, have a nice lunch and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.